Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Praise be to God. And you can call in your prayer requests at that same number, 319-527-6204, because we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory." So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. What will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want
He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? By the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Amen. Praise be to God. Kadosh, the Holy One. In Isaiah 40 and 25 says, to whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One. Kadosh. Kadosh, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw you seated on a throne, high and lifted up, with the train of your robe filling the temple. Above you he saw seraphims, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with the remaining two wings, they flew. As Isaiah stood there watching, he could hear the voice of one of the seraphims calling out to another one, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Indeed, holy, holy, holy are you, Kadosh. The whole earth is full of your glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson today and talk through the Bible. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Restore our souls brand new.
Oh,
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy One, the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of the seraphim as they called out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The temple was filling with smoke. The entire scene responded to your holiness, your intangible holiness affected Isaiah's tangible environment that day. Forgive me for failing to respond to your holiness as the level do you. Forgive me for so easily dismissing the power and purity of who you are. May I respond in total praise and humility as you make me aware of your holiness, my Kadosh. Amen, amen, and amen. And now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, "Let Him In." The scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans 8, 20 through 21. And it says, "The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God." Our inability to experience God's love is much like our inability to experience the fullness of the Lord's power working in us. We haven't yielded ourselves to him. We have closed ourselves off to his work. Of course, that doesn't stop him from loving you or from attempting to heal the wounded places of your heart. And he does so through the circumstances of life that breaks your dependency on the fleeting identity, security, and worth this world offers you. Even in the struggles you face, friend, realize that your Heavenly Father is calling out to you today, saying, "I love you. I'm not going to hurt you. I can heal you and set you free." God is not out to destroy you, but to woo you to him. He desires to give you what would truly satisfy the deepest parts of your soul. So stop shutting him out. The very things you are depending on are keeping you in bondage to your most profound wounds. Let him in and allow him to give you exactly what you truly need. Jesus, I invite you in. Heal me, my Savior. I trust you. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection. Our God is awesome.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say it.
Oh,
ought to celebrate the awesome God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Kadosh, the Holy One. Let your holiness manifest itself in me. May it transform my speech, my thoughts, and my actions. You have purchased my purity at such a great cost. I do not want it to be wasted in my life. Help me to honor you in all I do. Guide my decisions with the wisdom of your word. Show me how to live in the fullness of knowing you and make my life a holy instrument acceptable to you, which is my spiritual service of worship. Help me focus on your holiness and not on my past or present sins, so I won't become weighed down in guilt and grief. Instead, empower me to live a life set apart to you. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Bread of life.
Bread of life. Sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth. A holy king, a carpenter. You are the living word, say it now. Come on. Somebody say it.
That's what we call you. You were born in a manger. Born, but on a tree.
yourself saying.
Trials and tribulations. But there one thing I come to know without a doubt is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair.
Fall down on your knees, they help to save your feet.
Cast your cares on Him, He'll supply all your needs. But when you call on God, He'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you, and He will see you through.
You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, He will stand.
My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind at ease. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus. Praise be to God. Spirit of God, you are the Spirit of the living God. In you, I put my hope and trust. Because of you, I'm able to experience the fullness of God in my life. Freedom comes as you reign in my life. You guide and direct me in my thoughts. You pray for me with words I don't even know I need to pray. You are the Spirit of God, his helper, his mighty breath. I lift you up and honor you. May your fullness be known to this world, which needs you so desperately. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Unfortunately, our Lady Nadine Wiggins could not be with us this evening, so I am going to bring a word in her place. Thank you. Praise be to God.
Brother, let me be your fortune. Yo, Rob, what's up, dog? Yo, man, I heard, man, they were telling me that you ain't rolling with us. What's up with that? Listen, man, I'm over here, man. I got a C, man. Let's do this. Let's do this, bro. What up? Rob? Rob, are you there?
Every word of worship,
with one accord,
every praise,
every
what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Praise be to God. Every praise belongs to him. So at this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Unfortunately, our Lady Nadine could not be with us this evening, so I will be filling in, but not with the Bible study, but a message from the word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Should be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it with it. In a motion.
You provide fire.
up, God. I need more of you. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew's chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 13 through 23. Then we're going to go up to chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. That's Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 23, and Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, Peter says Jesus is the Messiah. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said. This will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God. Now let's turn to 18. Chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Jesus teaches how to treat a believer who sins. 15 says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. So Jesus looked ahead to a new day when he would be present with his followers, not in body, but through his Holy Spirit. In the body of believers, the church, the sincere agreement of two people in prayer is more powerful than the superficial agreement of thousands. Because Christ's Holy Spirit is with them, two or more believers filled with the Holy Spirit will pray according to God's will, not their own. Thus, their requests will be granted. Praise be to God. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth this message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son, who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. I pray for the increase of our congregation. I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations receive deliverance. I pray for those that are lost in darkness receive the light of your salvation. We thank you for supplying our every need. All these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, Father God, remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. More than 100 times in the gospel, Jesus is reported as using the terms kingdom, kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven. On only two occasions is he reported as using the word church, namely in Matthew 16:18 and 18:17, where we just read. To conclude from this fact, however, that the church was of minor importance in Jesus' thinking would be erroneous. Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would guide the disciples into all truth in John 16:12-14. The added light thrown on the nature and purpose of the church by Acts and the epistles and doubtless a fulfillment of Jesus' promise. The purpose of this message, however, is confined to what Jesus preached about his church. My text for this message is coming from Jesus. is coming from Matthew 16:18, where it says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. And the title of this message is what Jesus preached about his church. Amen? So the principles and teaching about the kingdom of God are valid for his church. When Jesus taught about salvation as the gift of God, received on the basis of repentance and faith, is an eternally valid principle. He certainly would not establish a church where salvation could be obtained by some other means. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is a democracy of equals. No one is given preferred treatment. Excuse me. Greatness in his kingdom will be on the basis of faithful service in Mark 10:36-45. Surely Jesus would not establish a church with autocratic principles. So let's go to Mark 10:36-45. Amen. And read Mark 10:36-45. Jesus said, what is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in place of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Or are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Praise God. So surely, Jesus would not establish the church with autocratic principles. Jesus taught that a Christian had obligations to God and obligations to the state. He said in Matthew 22:21 in the RSV, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The implication is that when the civil authority and the religious representatives remain in their proper spheres, a person can be a good Christian and a good citizen without compromise or conflict. Surely our Lord would not want his church to dominate the state, nor to be controlled by it. Jesus clearly taught that it is not his disciples' right nor responsibility to destroy heretics by force. In Matthew 13:24-30, we just read 36-43, Jesus intends to conquer, but his weapons are love and truth. He has not established his church to conquer by force. Jesus is Lord. His lordship is undelegated. He would not and has not established a church to which he delegates authority to forgive sins or to grant or to withhold salvation. Everything that Jesus has taught in his parables, in the Sermon on the Mount, and elsewhere will be consistent with what he teaches about his church. Praise be to God. Every promise or command that applies to a disciple as an individual continues value for that disciple as a church member. The church is to help Christians do better cooperatively what they desire to do anyway, because they are Christians. Praise God. Now, Jesus teaches about his church in the scriptures. As we read in Matthew 16:13-23, it was important that the disciples come to believe on Jesus as Messiah and Lord. In answer to Jesus' direct question, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:15-16 in the RSV. So Jesus was obviously pleased with Peter's reply. Peter was now acting like a rock, living up to the name Peter, or rock, which Jesus had given to him at their first meeting in John 1:42. Peter was no more actually a rock than a few minutes later he was actually the devil when he tried to dissuade Jesus from going to the cross in Matthew 16:23. In the first instance, he was acting like a rock, but in the second, he was acting like Satan. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word translated church is a Greek word that means called out, assembly, or congregation. In secular Greek, it was used for the calling out of the citizens of the city to transact business. In the Septuagint, it was used for the congregation of Israel assembled before the tabernacle. Christ's church or assembly or congregation is composed of all who have been called out of sin to salvation. Jesus had already begun to build his church on the foundation of men such as Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, and the other apostles who believed in him. He will continue to build his church of believers. In a general sense, the church of Christ is composed of all the redeemed, both those in paradise and those on earth. Not one saved person is missing. Not one unsaved is among them. This is the true church indeed. Death has no power over Christ's church. Every member of it has eternal life. Verse 18, the gates of hell, the word is Hades or the unseen world, cannot prevail. The powers of death shall not prevail against it. In verse 18 in the RSV, Jesus is not promising the perpetuity of an institution, but the eternal life of his disciples. Matthew 18:15-18 says, Jesus used the word church as a local congregation of believers. This is the usage usually found in the scripture. He is giving practical advice about how to deal with a brother who has sinned against you, a fellow church member. You are to take one or two other people with you. If that fails, then you are to tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Matthew 18:17 and the NIV. A pagan is to be prayed for and witnessed to, but is not to be left on the church roll. The authority of the local congregation to withdraw membership from one who is manifestly not Christian implies the duty of the congregation to allow only those who profess Christ to become members. Amen? Praise God. So, okay, one second. Wait, I lost my... Praise be to God. Where am I? Okay, give me one second. I lost my spot. 18. Here we go. There we go. Okay. If a professed Christian is wronged by another, he ought not to complain of it to others, as is often done, merely upon report, but to go to the offender privately, state the matter kindly, and show him his conduct. This would generally have all the desired effect with a true Christian, and the parties would be reconciled. The principle of these rules may be practiced everywhere and under all circumstances, though they are too much neglected by all. But how few try the method which Christ has expressly enjoined to all his disciples in all our proceedings, we should seek direction in prayer. We cannot too highly prize the promises of God. Wherever and whenever we meet in the name of Christ, we should consider him as present in the midst of us. Amen. And as I bring this message to a close, the church has an eternal responsibility as the steward of the gospel. The word Jesus spoke to Peter in Matthew 16:19, he also spoke to the church in Matthew 18:18. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16:19, the steward carried the keys to the building. The keys to the kingdom of heaven are repentance and faith. The church, all believers, has been entrusted with a gospel of eternal consequences. What people do on earth has eternal results. The responsibility for those is not confined to Peter and the apostles, but is the responsibility of the whole church. Jesus clearly taught that people must respond to the gospel for themselves. It would be a fatal error to push the figure of the keys to mean that the church can save apart from personal faith in Christ. Jesus saves. We are the trustees of salvation. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. To God be the glory. And if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, now is the time, and all you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 through 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let's all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I made it through, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit guidance. So God bless you, Sister Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed and stressed, but now I am fine. I got through it. And, you know, those like last minute things is, you know, it's enough to stress a person, but sometimes it's unavoidable, you know, things happen. Yeah.
Yes.
But I thank God I made it through.
Yes,
it's been a long
did.
2 hours. Yeah. A long 2 hours. It's okay, but I made it. So I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. So I take everything was good yesterday on your behalf.
Oh yeah, one of the best election days ever. Well, first of all, it was only one office that was open.
Uh-huh.
Voting.
Yeah.
You know, it was only two candidates.
Oh, that
was only
good.
Two candidates.
Yeah.
So, Hakeem Jeffries and Queen Johnson, I think her name is,
uh-huh.
were running for the same congressional office. So
oh.
it was good. We had, you know, good assistance. I had two scanners. I was on a scanner. Conversation was good with the young lady that was there with me. And
oh,
it ran smoothly. It ran smoothly. We got out.
Mm-hmm.
We got out before 10 o'clock, which is good. We were trying to get out by 9:30, but, you know, it is what it is. I've gotten out later than that. So it was good. It was good.
Amen.
Really nice.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that everything went well. I tried to stay up last night to watch the results, but they still didn't have. They still had to count up the absentee vote thing. So I was like, nope, this is going to take too long. I'm going to bed.
That's good. Glad to be involved. Did you get to vote?
No, I didn't. Because I didn't. Why didn't I go to vote? I don't even know why I didn't go out. Because usually I just vote in the general election, like in November and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes, like, you know, my neighbor, she'll drag me out the house and say, come on, let's go vote. I said, but who are we voting for? You know, because there's different ones for different districts, and they moved us from our voting poll. That's what happened. They moved us from across the street in the school. All I had to do is go outside across the street. But then they moved us over to another section, and that's like four or five blocks away.
Yes, I know they're doing that all over. They did
that
to
me
too.
Not fair.
Well, that's
you
what
know?
They're doing right now. Where I would normally vote, they've closed that down. It's 213.
That
would sometimes work and normally vote. So that's no longer a voting site.
Uh-huh.
They have made Hope Baptist Church, which is closer to me. It's on New Lots in Pennsylvania. That's my new voting site. But I was able to early vote, which I like to do because I never know where they're going to place me. So I got the early vote. But now my district has changed. The site has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The early voting site has changed. But I'm saying that's what they're doing right now. And I don't know what their purpose is, but that discourages a lot of people and makes them not want to be bothered, you know.
Yeah,
so we can't let them defeat us. We can't let them defeat us, because the whole point of the election is to get somebody in there that's going to help us.
Exactly.
You know? So it may be inconvenient, but it's not something that could be unnecessary. You have to go out of your way and do it if you care anything about yourself.
That's true. Yeah,
you
know, I know that
you're saying you do.
Yeah.
It's not convenient. It's not right across the street. It's not right up the block. But you got to either do the early vote, and you'll find out where that is if you're interested. You can inquire from the Board of Elections, or you want to vote. And when things come through that you don't like, you can't say anything about it because you have no input.
Right. So,
but anyway,
I
hope you vote in November.
Oh, yeah.
That's
important. I know November, I definitely go out to vote in
that
one.
But let me remind you that the early ones, the early ones are important, too, because that determines who's on the ballot in November.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
That's but anyway, that's what it is.
Yeah. In November. So you have a wonderful evening. And
I
will, now that my stress level has calmed down, you know, because it's hard to find something at the last minute, you know. But it is what it is. I made it through, so that's the main thing.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Okay, love you. Have a good evening.
Bless you.
God
love
bless you too.
Love you, kisses. I was gonna say Benji. Kiss Tico for me.
I will.
From a distance. Okay.
Oh yeah, you know it's from a distance. Kiss Tico. That's from
sweet.
That's from Barbara.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sitting up, looking like
love
a-
you.
You know, staring like a little dog with at attention.
He's something else. He's a sweet little thing. Sweetheart. But I enjoyed your sermon, and I thank you again, you know, for everything that you do. All right?
Thank you.
God bless you.
More.
You're more than welcome.
God bless you too.
Have a beautiful and blessed night. And again, hugs and kisses, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Shalom. You're welcome.
Calling you. Oh, oh, oh.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.